You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Radio Network is the fastest growing online talk and music radio station broadcasting the highest quality shows available on the web. We talk, we listen, we take action, using our unique services to inform, inspire, entertain, educate, and connect our diverse audience to the global marketplace. Over 15 radio personalities make up the 11 shows that broadcast to over 100,000 listeners around the globe. Currently streaming on WeTalkRadio.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Offering a wide variety of shows and services, WeTalk Radio has something for everyone. Tune in, follow us on social media, or visit our website at www.WeTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Shine Lord Radio Show, right here on WeTalk Radio Network.
Take not the Holy Spirit from me. touch. Oh, I need you to rain down your presence on me. Oh, me. I need a touch from thee. Fall fresh off me. Drench me in your spirit.
Good morning to everybody out there. Good morning to everybody joining us on whatever streaming platform you are listening to us on. It is such a blessing to have multiple streams to be able to get God's word out there on today. Thank y'all on Facebook Live, on my personal Facebook page. Thank y'all on our church, Spirit of Inspiring Love's Facebook page. Thank y'all on our YouTube page, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church on YouTube. And thank y'all for the Soil Church online website joining us as well as those that are on We Talk Radio, where we talk, we listen, and we take action. I want to thank everybody for your time, for spending with us on this morning. And I can assure you, this is a stream that you don't want to pass by. This is something that is not just clickbait and move on. This is something that is literally going to be transformational in your life. This is going to be transformational in your life. I have spoken to the Father, and he has impressed upon my spirit what his people need on today, which is the reason why we are in this series called The Power of Forgiveness. And I want us to know something and to understand something here as we get ready to get into our message on today. You know, we had on our previous message from last week that forgiveness, it started with God. Forgiveness started with God. And we know, and what we've understood is that God is a God of free will. He is, in fact, a God of free will. And you know what he does? He allows us to be able to choose who or what we serve. He allows us to be able to do that. And what this means is that there's no strings that are attached to you, to me, to anyone out there. This is not a puppet master type of lifestyle. It is, in fact, the lifestyle that God says, here's everything that's out there. You choose who you will serve. Now, whether good or bad, whatever choices that you make is something that we've always taught our child, is that for every choice, there is a consequence. And that's what I want us to understand. For every action, there is, in fact, a reaction. So everything that you do, it means something. Everything that you do, it has a meaning and behind it. This is why I say, and I make different posts, and I want us to understand, be intentional with everything that you do. Be intentional about the life that you live, because every choice that you make, everything that you do has a consequence, whether good or bad. But what I want us to know and understand as we're kind of recapping forgiveness from last week here is that God's love is stronger than anything that we can ever do. And what I want us to know is that his love, his mercy, and guess what? His forgiveness is stronger than any choice that we can make. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is good news, because it will never, ever change. Remember what we talked about last week. We said forgiveness is taking a stance. That's right. Forgiveness is actually a verb. Okay? Put that in the chat. Forgiveness is actually a verb, because you're taking a stance. And what you're doing is that you're telling God that you're supporting his will. You're supporting his way, because God's stance is all about giving. God's stance is all about giving. What is that song that we used to sing back in the day growing up in a church here? You can't beat God given. No matter how hard you try, you just cannot beat God given. He will outgive anything that we can do for him. But what I want us to understand is when it comes to forgiveness, you are in the will of God when you support giving. And during this series, what I want us to know is that God actually has expectations regarding forgiveness. He's got some expectations. He expects us to do it. Yes, he is a God of free will, But when you accept his will and you accept his way, there are some expectations that are required of you. Maybe that's perhaps the reason why some of us straddle the fence with living a life for God. Maybe that's sometimes why we have such a hard time, because there are requirements here. There is something that God has called expectations for you in your life. And when you say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm living for you. Lord, I'm giving my life for you. There are some required expectations, and forgiveness is, in fact, one of those expectations. But ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to know is that forgiveness, of all things that we've talked about, is actually not a choice. What do you mean, Pastor Glenn? You just said that the God we serve is a God of free will, but now you're saying that forgiveness is not a choice. Sounds like there's a contradiction here. Remember what we just said. When you accept God's way, there are, in fact, some expectations. And if we're going to live a life for God and follow in his footsteps and do what Jesus has commanded all of us to do, then forgiveness, my friend, is not a choice. Forgiveness is not about what you feel like. Forgiveness is not about what mood you're in. Forgiveness is not about if you feel like it today, or if you like this person, or if this person is doing something for you, or what are you going to get out of the deal? Forgiveness is not a choice. Forgiveness is, matter of fact, not even up to you. That's right, I said it. Forgiveness is not up to you. And as you see, we're getting ready to put our first slide up on this morning. What I want us to say, and I want this to sink into your spirit, is that forgiveness is not up to you. Now, you put that in the chat. I want people to see that, and you tag folk or anybody, if you're on Facebook or anything, I want you to flood the chat line with saying that forgiveness is not up to you. Put it out there. Now, you be the minister. You now do the preaching. You now let God use you in a mighty way. Put out there that forgiveness is not even up to you. This is going to be one of those messages. It's either going to transform your life, or it's going to make you extremely upset with me. But I'm here to tell you, God has freed me from the opinions. God has freed me from the thoughts. God has freed me from anything that anyone could say, because I am called according to his purpose. I am called according to his plan. And just like Jonah, I'm not running away from my assignment, and I am going to speak what God needs for me to speak, because when God says it, and God says it needs to be spoken, he always has a messenger in the day and the time that he needs for something to be spoken. And I have accepted that call. I have accepted that challenge. And I want us to know, as we had the slide up here, forgiveness is not even up to you. We're going to have to get out of ourselves during this series. We're going to have to take a hard look at ourselves during this series, because it is time for the people of God to have a gut check. If you feel that this message is going to be a little bit more potent to you, you have my full permission to click on and move on. But if you're ready for your life to be transformed, and if you're ready for a whole new level in God, you want to continue to listen to this series, because God is doing something. We are right now bothering every demon in hell. Right now we are bothering Satan, because this is what he does not want us to know. He is the great deceiver, and he wants us to deceive us and allow us to live life with business as usual. But God said, uh-uh, we didn't go through all of this now just to go back to business as usual. We didn't go through everything that we've gone through just to get to this point and say, let's go back to just standard church flow. God is doing something amazing on today. And he is looking for those that are serious about him, that are after his own heart, that are loving him at a whole nother level. But there is something that we have to get past. There is a wall that has to be torn down. And we have to get beside ourselves and listen to what the word of God is saying. Because the word of God, as I've said before, it lives through us, it speaks to us, and it meets us wherever we are. And sometimes, as I explained to somebody yesterday, there is a difference between being stabbed and having surgery. A stabbing is meant to harm you. This is not a stabbing. But there could be some very similar tools and instruments used to cut your body called surgery. And although that doesn't feel good as well, it's necessary, because something has to be removed. Something has to be repaired. Something has to be stitched up, and it's time for us to move on. And we're going to be a little bit uncomfortable. And this is a warning from you. This is going to be a very potent message. But God says, if you can just withstand the rain, if you can withstand the wheel and just accept what he's saying, your life will be changed after today. But what I want us to know here and what I want us to understand is we got to prepare our hearts for this message. You have got to prepare your heart for this message. You've got to prepare your mind as we're getting ready to experience this life-changing word on today. Because one thing that we know, as we have our thematic saying on this year, our thematic scripture on this year, Ephesians 3 and 20, because unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to what? The power that works within us. And what I want us to know is that power that works within us is the power from the Holy Spirit, and that gives us the power of forgiveness. And today, as you see up on the screen, our message is, in fact, part two of the power of forgiveness. And today we're going to be talking about the danger of unforgiveness. The danger of unforgiveness. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're here again. There are hungry hearts out here ready to feed on your word. Lord, there's somebody out there that needs to hear this word. And when you gave it to me, you said it. You said to speak it, don't hold back. You said to bring it forth because somebody needs to be changed. Somebody needs to be transformed. Somebody right now is going to be released from some demons that have rested, that have nested, that have fested, that have sat there in your spirit. But it is time for them to hit the road, Jack. We didn't come to play with Satan. We didn't come to play with his demons. We come to speak fire and brimstone over every demonic force that has bonded the people of God with unforgiveness. And we speak life into forgiveness. We speak love over forgiveness. Lord, you said love conquers a multitude of sins. And we are, in fact, more than conquerors. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that somebody is going to be free. Somebody is going to be blessed. Somebody is going to have some things removed, some things uplifted. And they're going to experience a whole new life because of this word on today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to receive this word in love and help us to continue to walk in the path of righteousness that you have us to walk. And I thank you for every heart that's going to be transferred, every heart that's going to be changed, every mind that's going to be washed, and every deliverance that's going to happen on today. In the name of Jesus, I feel your presence on today. Have your way as I pour everything out, Lord. I allow your spirit to speak through me and use me, Lord, in a way that you see fit. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Amen. I want to thank everybody for tuning in on today. And we've got a couple of scriptures here as we dive into our message on today that we're going to be talking about. And as you know, they're both going to be found in the New Testament. And you know, we have our analogy. I am a true teacher and I want you to get it. I want you to understand it. That is where my passion is. Not hooping and hollering and making you feel good. There's a time for that. And I can do all of that too. But right now, I want you to get this message because this is what's going to carry you next week, carry you to the week after, carry you a year after, 2 years after, 3 years after. Not a quick shout, but some information. Because as King Solomon told us, remember, in all of our getting, get understanding. And what matters to me more than anything is that the people of God receive understanding, that we can apply what this word is saying. We can use it into our life. We are equipped with the tools that God has given us so that we can move forward and be everything God has called us to be. That's my only purpose. And I will move forward into my purpose. But as I say all the time, we have the Bible is like two halves, right? We've got an Old Testament, which are the books of Genesis through the books of Malachi. And then we have the New Testament, which are the books of Matthew. We've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, kind of like that, as I've said before, that grace period. And then we step into the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit comes and we're up in the upper room. Then we get into the Pauline letters, right? Then we get into the 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and all the, okay, all of that's in the New Testament. And we end in the book of Revelations, what is to come to pass. I will do an entire series on the book of Revelations, probably sometime later in 2022. But what I want us to know here is that when God speaks, ladies and gentlemen, it is either going to do one of three things, and I've said this before. You're either getting ready to walk into something, you're in the middle of something, or it's going to confirm what you just came out of. This word on today is going to do one of three things. It's going to confirm where you are. It's going to get you ready for what you're getting ready to step into, or it's going to confirm what you just came out of. So what I want us to do on today, we're going to come from the book of Matthew. We're going to read our first text out of the book of Matthew. Matthew was one of the 12 disciples. Remember, disciples, they were receiving the discipline from Jesus, taking the notes, watching him, following him, studying him. They were students of Jesus to learn the discipline of what it was like to live the Christian life. That's what disciple means, a follower of Christ. In the book of Matthew, then we're also going to come from the book of Mark, okay, which those are two of the four gospels in the New Testament. And these two gentlemen here, Mark and Matthew, all of the disciples were handpicked by Jesus, but they were handpicked because not all of the 12 were handpicked to bring forth and to talk about Jesus in a way that they talk about Jesus. These are two different accounts. And we're going to talk about some similarities in these two different accounts as we're talking about our series here, The Danger, the series of the Power of Forgiveness, and today in particular, The Danger of Unforgiveness. Because what I want us to know is when Jesus handpicked you, when Jesus handpicked anybody, whatever Jesus has handpicked, it is in fact for a divine purpose. You're not just living life. This is why I say we have to be intentional. We have to be on purpose because whom God has called, he has qualified. And if he handpicked you, he has handpicked you for a purpose. So there is a connection related to forgiveness in both of these passages that we're going to read. And there will be one key word that's going to stick out. And we're going to connect both of these passages. So let's start off by opening our Bibles, whether you have your e-Bible or your old school Bible. We're coming from the book of Matthew. And as you can see up on our screen right now, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. And I am coming from the NIV, the New International Version's translation here. And it reads, and this is Jesus talking here, "For if I forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But," y'all know that's one of my favorite words in the Bible, "but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Your Father will not forgive your sins if you do not forgive others their sins. Now, I want us to put the book of Mark up, Mark 11 and 25, and I'm still coming out of the NIV, the New International Version's translation, and it reads, this is still Jesus talking from the book of Mark, "And whenever you hear a scripture start off with the word and, there was a continuation, right, from this particular passage, but I pulled this out because it's speaking directly to our message on today, and I'll give a little bit of biblical dialect as to what this is coming from and what Jesus is referring to during this passage, but it reads, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Now, we're going to break these texts down because what I want us to know and I want us to understand is when God is speaking, it is the people of God's job to make sure that we're listening. It is up to the people of God to make sure they are in position to listen. Okay. You want to make sure that you're in position to listen. Faith can only come by hearing and hearing from the word of God. But if you're not in position to hear what God is saying, you're going to miss the ministry moment. You're going to miss what the Lord is speaking. You're going to miss, in fact, what he is saying. Now, we're going to break these texts down, but there is one key word that connects both texts into this, and that word is called prayer. That word is called prayer. Now, Matthew and Mark, they both record Jesus specifically from both of those two texts, specifically talking about prayer in both of those two texts. And for those that have been following our ministry and my broadcast for a while now, you know that earlier this year, probably back during the first quarter or so, earlier this year in 2022, we had an entire series on the power of prayer. And we talked about how there are different forms of prayer. There's a personal prayer between you and God. And then there's corporate prayer that we have when we pray in unison, when we pray together. Okay, and we can come together and pray. They prayed in unison. They had corporate prayer up in the upper room. But Jesus had personal prayer when he said, Father, take this cup away from me. But they're all conversations with God. And they're all that conversation with God. And that's what really prayer is, okay? And you can go back and that's not what our message is about today, but I just want us to understand the importance of prayer as it's connecting to this word called forgiveness, okay? Now, what I want us to understand is if we go back into Matthew, let's just take a look at Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Here's what I want us to understand, okay? What Matthew is saying here is Jesus introduced the disciples during this time to the ultimate form of prayer called the Lord's Prayer. Okay, this is in Matthew. This is what the Lord was introducing the disciples to. Okay, how do you pray? Jesus said here, as he's teaching them the structure of praying, he said in Matthew 6 and 9, coming from the New International Version, he said, this then is how you should pray. He's talking in second person. He's speaking in second person to them. This is how you should pray. Jesus didn't need any help understanding prayer. Okay, Jesus created prayer. Okay, he's the great teacher. But what he wanted to do was leave a foundation with them so that they could understand how they should pray. So he's saying, this is how you should pray. And I'm referencing this scripture here because he is speaking in second person to them. In other words, this is becoming a personal thing that they should take heed to and learn and understand how you should pray, how I should pray, how each of us individually should pray. He said, not me, but you. So this now becomes personal, as I just mentioned. In other words, this is not about anyone else but you. So this is now one of those things about that when he's saying, and I said this is going to be a potent message here, this is how you should pray. He's now talking to them so that they can understand this is all about me, myself, I. Me, myself, I. The man or the woman in the mirror. This is about us. This is about us individually, and we should be looking at ourselves in the mirror. And I want to make this an important note here, because as he's talking about prayer, he then shifts into the same sentiment of breaking this down, talking about forgiveness. When it comes to forgiveness, this is who we should be looking at. It's all about that person that's in the mirror. And as a matter of fact, he says in Matthew 6 and 12, he says, and forgive us our debts. Forgive. Forgive us our debts. Okay? Remember the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us. And then we get into that whole forgiveness part. When Jesus is saying, this is how we should pray, he included forgiveness in the ultimate example of prayer. This is why I say, this is all about you. This is all about us looking in the mirror. This is all about us. And when we say, and forgive us our debts, that's a personal thing. And we're going to talk about that here as we move into our message. So as Jesus is teaching the formal structure of prayer and includes forgiveness as part of this structure, what I want us to know about our debts, forgive us our debts, let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about what that means, because we have all had some debt. But what kind of debt? You might ask, what does Jesus mean by forgive us our debts? What I want us to understand is these are debts of owing God, not Chase Bank, not PNC Bank, not your mortgage lender, LendingTree.com or whoever it is. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the formal currency form of debt. We're talking about the shortcomings of our lives that we owe to God. That's the kind of debt that he's talking about here. And what I want us to understand here is these are the debts that are owing God. And all of us rack up some debt in our lives. Why is that? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as you see our next slide up right now, as you can see, it says the sinful life means being paid by the wages of sin. And if you're paid by sin's wages, you are in debt with God. I'm going to read that again. Let's leave it up just a little bit. The sinful life means being paid by the wages of sin. Sin is compensating you. This is why we have to be careful who we're serving, because sin is compensating you, and the wages of sin is death. And if you're paid by sin's wages, you are in debt with God. Those are supposed to be God's wages and not sin's wages. The devil didn't make you. The devil didn't create you. You are not created in Satan's image. You are created in God's image. And your life is what you owe to God, not anything and not anyone else. This here is how we're supposed to live, because nothing else is supposed to compensate you spiritually. The real you, the spirit you, nothing else is supposed to compensate the real you, the spirit person that lives inside of you, but God. He lives in us. His spirit lives in us. Remember when we talked about how God, a few months back, and we said, God gave us his image. Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, gave us his life. And the Holy Spirit gave us, okay, power. He gave us his spirit. God gave us everything. There is part, we are a part of the Trinity, the holy deity of God. We are part of the Godhead. That's why we're made in his image. We all have a touch of God in each and every one of us. So if God made us, if God created us, if we take on his image, the compensation is supposed to be his. I want to let that sink for a little bit. I want you to think about what I just said. That compensation is supposed to be his. The real you, the spirit man, the spirit person on the inside of you is supposed to return back unto God. Because when you were in the angelic realm and God sent you down and you had a natural birth into this world, you're supposed to be returning back to God. That's part of the giving and receiving. That's part of the reciprocational process. But there is a thief, and that thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to disrupt. He wants to disform. He wants to spread discord. He wants to rob you of returning back to God. But again, God is a God of free will, and he's not going to force himself to have you return back unto him. Pastor Glenn, what does this have to do with forgiveness? Oh, everything in the world. Hang on, and we're going to go there. Because what I want us to understand, the real you, the real soul, your personality, your emotions, your happiness, your anger, all of those things are a part of your soul, which makes up your emotions, okay? Those things, your soul is what's going to stand before God in judgment day. Let's make the connection. Your soul will also have an impact on forgiving. My feelings were hurt too bad. I don't like that person. They disrespected me. They did this, they did that, she this, she that. We're going to talk about that, but I want you to know that is all part of the emotional and mental makeup of who you are, which is controlled by the soul. That soul stands in between the natural you and the spirit you, and that soul is what has to stand before God one day. Where do you want your soul to end up? Where do you want your soul to end up? But what I want us to understand here, as you see the next slide that we have up, unforgiveness puts you in debt with God. Forgiveness helps you get out of debt with God. Let's read that again. Unforgiveness puts you in debt with God. Forgiveness helps you get out of debt with God. I'm going slow on purpose because I want this to sink into your soul. We're going to bother your soul on today. We have to. It's a must. Now, I want us to go back and take a look at Mark 11 and 25, which reads, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you." See the connection here. You're asking God for something. You're asking God for deliverance. You're asking God for a request. You're having this dialogue from God because you're wanting him to do something for you, but you're not standing in support of being a giver. And we're going to talk about that here as we get into a different illustration. But how dare us ask God for something and yet we're not in communion with his stance on giving? This is why Jesus is saying, okay, if what you're going to do, whenever you're asking for something, when you take that stand, what you got to do is you have to forgive other people so that God can forgive you. You have to clear the path of your blessing. Clear the path of your communication with God. Clear the path of everything between you and God so that you can have an effective and healthy relationship with him. Here again in this text, Jesus is referencing prayer in his teaching. And he had just cursed this fig tree during this time. As he's talking about this scripture, he had just passed a fig tree and he cursed it. And he used that as a teaching moment because he had just told them, whatever you ask in prayer, believe it and you shall receive it because it shall come to pass. And then he says that when you take that stance to pray, in order for this to work, when you take that stance to pray, you have to forgive any debts anyone have against you. And then the Father in heaven will forgive you of your debts that you have against him. Why aren't my prayers getting answered? Why doesn't it seem like God is talking back to me? Why does it seem like I'm praying for this over and over and over? It just doesn't seem like God is answering my prayer. This may have everything in the world to do with that situation. It may have everything to do with that situation? Have we released what may be holding us down with unforgiveness? Have we forgiven that person, those people, that situation? What I want us to know here, this is the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, grudges are dangerous. This is the reason why there is a danger for unforgiveness. Grudges are dangerous. They're unhealthy. And holding on to grudges, I want you to hear my heart. Holding on to grudges, they're not good, ladies and gentlemen. And they're not godly. We got to get past that. There is nothing that can hurt you so bad that should keep you out of the gates of heaven. Put that in the chat, somebody. There is nothing that anybody should do to you that offends you so bad, that hurts you so bad, that should keep your soul from walking into the gates of heaven. What can somebody do so bad to you to make you spend eternity in hell? Think about that. What can somebody say to you that will make you spend eternity in hell? I'm not talking about the short time that we're living on the face of this earth. I am talking about eternity. Okay, there's a thing called instant gratification, and there's also a thing called delayed gratification. Oftentimes, what we want is instant gratification. Oh, I told him off. I told her off. Oh, I'm not going to this. I'm not going to that. We're going to talk about that because I want us to understand we're going to use something in Jesus' teaching as simple as a fig tree to teach us about the danger of unforgiveness. But what I want you to know is that God wants his people to be released from this grudge syndrome that we have, holding on to things. For what? Why would you hold on to something that's going to have that kind of power to keep you out of the gates of heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, let me say something here because I'm all out on my soapbox and I am summoned by God to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Why would we allow holding a grudge to have that kind of power over our life? Well, he's on grudge today. Who did this? Who did that? Get out of yourself and listen to what God is saying. I didn't come to give you cupcake message here because this is not a cupcake situation. There are people that are dying and they're dying holding grudges and they're going to have to stand before God not releasing those things. And I don't want us living in this world to be ignorant of the world and go on living our lives like everything is just hunky-dory and we're doing this and we're doing that. We're handing out chicken dinners and we're going to the homeless shelters and we're doing all these things, but yet we've got a hole in our soul. This is the reason why the enemy does not want this message to go forward. But the devil is a liar and his pants are on fire. I will speak the word of God and somebody is going to be free on today. Because what I want you to understand here, I am just the messenger. And if the word of God is coming and it is potent and it is hitting you like this, you're either just coming out of it, you're getting ready to go into it, or you're right dead smack in the middle of it right now. And there are chains that are going to be lifted. There are paths of unforgiveness that are going to be removed out of somebody's life. This is serious. And at some point, we have to be serious about living a life for God. We got to be serious about being intentional for God. We've got to be serious about everything that God needs for us to be. And be serious and intentional about living a life pleasing him. Living a life that is satisfying him, making him first, and positioning ourselves to do everything that God has called us to do. We got to take the covers off our eyes. We've got to get out of these things here and just getting so caught up into the flow. And we've got to be intentional and we've got to be potent about where God wants us to be. Yes, I am coming with intensity in this message. because that's how unforgiveness is. It's very intense, and I'm going to match the intensity because we got to get free from this, ladies and gentlemen. We have got to get free from this. It sounds like he's fussing. Take it as you may, but I'm giving it to you the way that I received it. And it hit me first. It's doing something inside of me first. I've had some walls that I was sharing with my wife. I've had some walls that had to been torn down in my life. Even recently, I've had some walls that had to been torn down like the walls of Jericho. I've had to let some things go. I've had to release some things. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it impacted me. Yes, this did all these things for me, but I got to face God one day. And I want to stand before him with a free and a clear account to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And it ain't no grudge out there. Nothing that anybody can say. Nothing that anybody can do. Nothing that anybody can do that's going to keep me from entering into the gates of heaven, because I had to do this. And I had to realize this was all about me. And I've got the power to forgive. And I've got the power to release some things. If I am more than a conqueror, I'm way off my nose. I'm the Holy Spirit. Just do your thing. I ain't got to explain. Just do your thing, Holy Spirit. If I'm more than a conqueror and I've got the power of God in me, there is nothing that's going to stop me from fulfilling the purpose of God. Not any amount of money, not a friend, not a job, not a business, not a thought, not an opinion, not cancel culture, not nothing else. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. And I come to match the intensity to let you know nothing shall separate you from the love of God. And that includes holding a grudge. That includes unforgiveness. Now, as we get ready to put our next slide up here, what I want us to understand, giving reciprocates, but here's what I want us to know about being on the side of giving. When you give forgiveness, you also receive forgiveness. We talked about that last week. Giving and receiving is reciprocating. When you give forgiveness, you receive forgiveness. That's what I want us to know. And what we should all know and understand that right by now, by listening to this message here, is that we should all notice that all roads, ladies and gentlemen, lead to taking a stance on giving. All roads lead back to taking a stance on giving. When you give, you receive. And when you give the fruit tree the water that it needs, what I want us to understand is that that fruit tree now has what it needs to produce fruit for you. When you give it what it needs, it's going to in turn give you what you need. This is why in this text here, as I was talking about, Jesus had just coming from the book of Mark, he was just talking about this fig tree. They passed it by. And as they came up on the fig tree was a fraud. What do you mean the fig tree was a fraud? It had the leaves. It was in position. It had all the nutrients. It had everything it needed to produce the figs, but it wasn't producing. It gave off the assumption that it produced figs, but it was not. Oh, Holy Spirit is on it right now. It didn't fulfill its purpose. It was going through the motions. It didn't fulfill its purpose. It was purpose to produce figs, but it did everything but fulfill its purpose. The danger of unforgiveness. The danger of unforgiveness. Jesus had to curse it because it was sending mixed messages. He had to curse it because it wasn't walking in the purpose and the plan in which it was designed. It received the water. It received the sunlight. It received everything it needed. It was in position for transition. and it did not fulfill its God-given purpose, so that no one else would be deceived by this fig tree, he had to curse it. And that's what I want us to understand here. It had the water that it needed. It had everything what it needed, but it did not hold up its end of the bargain. Now, it gave the image that it was producing, but when you look in deep, pull back all the layers to see what was produced from that tree, it had nothing to show for itself. Again, it was taking up the space. It was taking up the nutrients. It was doing all those things, but it was not producing. In other words, the fig tree was a taker and not a giver. And when you take more than you give, that leads, here's that word, it leads to debt. It leads to debt. Forgive us our debts. It leads to debt. And that debt was produced by the wages of sin. Okay, this is what I want us to understand. This is what the unforgiven spirit will do. It will put you in debt with God. Again, we can go to church. We can feed the less fortunate. We can give off the image that we're producers, but having unforgiveness will burn a hole in your soul. It will burn a hole in your soul. And if you're doing these things and yet have an unforgiven spirit, you are a fraud just like that fig tree. You're giving off the image that you're just busy doing God's work, but you're a fraud. That is right from God. That ain't from me. That is right from God. Don't get mad at the messenger. But if the shoe fits, the shoe just gonna have to fit today, because we have got to be free, and somebody got to tell it like it is. Somebody has to put it where the goats can get it. Somebody has to be able to not be afraid to hurt somebody's feelings, but tell it like it is. That's what the problem people have with Jeremiah. That's the problem they had with Isaiah. That's the problem they had with all of the early prophets, because they told it like it was. They didn't want to hear it. King Saul didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear that David was chosen. He didn't want to hear that he messed up. He didn't want to hear that. So therefore, he got angry at David and wanted to kill David and went after a terror on David. But it didn't stop God's word from being true. It didn't stop David from being anointed. It didn't stop David from succeeding the kingdom of Israel, regardless to how he liked it or not. What I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what we like or don't like. Our job is to be obedient, because God does chasten who he loves. This is a love message on today. This isn't a message to make anybody feel bad. This isn't a message to make somebody feel low about themselves. Again, if we don't do this, then how are we ever going to go to that next level? What we have to do is start thinking, what am I going to stand before God and look like? What am I going to have? What legacy am I leaving? What am I going to bring to the table? Am I going to be in surplus, or am I going to be in debt when I stand before God? And I'm sorry, but there ain't nobody living on the face of this earth or nothing that's too important in this world that's going to make me not hear the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Okay? But what I want us to understand is we don't need to have the hole bleeding in our soul, because what I want us to do is to be free from holding on to unforgiveness. Now, a lot of us are in trouble because of unforgiveness. And it would be a tremendous tragedy to serve the people of God all of our life and not be able to hear God say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." All because of unforgiveness. All because we didn't want to let it go. All because we didn't want to release that. All because we found it too hard to just embrace somebody that hurt us, said something about us, trampled over us, or whatever that might be. But here's a slide that I want to put up on this morning here. If you cannot forgive others for their debts, God cannot forgive you of your debts. If you cannot forgive others for their debts, God cannot forgive you for your debts. Why is this? It's because you're not taking the stance to be a giver. You're not in support of giving. That's what for giving means. I am for giving. And if you do not take the stance to give, you do not support God's stance on giving. See, when you look at this from the eyes of God, you can then get out of yourself. When you look at it through the eyes of God and say, God is all about giving, all of my shortcomings, all the balls that I fumble, all of the missed opportunities that I blow, all of the mistakes that I make, and he has sovereign forgiveness over me and my life. And if he does that for me, why cannot I err on the stance of also doing that for others? Look at it through the eyes of God. So what do we do? Because unforgiving is a very tough thing. It's a potent thing, but there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that God can't do that's beyond whatever that might be snaring us down on today. What do we do about the unforgiving spirit? And if you're still hanging on here, listening to this message, you know that this word is for you on today. You know that God is speaking to you on today. You know that God is blessing you on today because you would have left a long time ago, but God said you stay put because this is for you. The first thing that we got to do when it comes to the unforgiving spirit, we got to recognize it. We have to submit to what it is. Just say, you know what? I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to bypass it. I'm going to be real about this. And I have an unforgiving spirit. Be real. Be real about this. Be real. Look in the mirror and embrace who you are. Embrace who you are. So what we have to do is we first have to recognize it. And sometimes we've developed this thing called a spiritual callus. We've developed a callus in some areas of our lives. And here's what happens. It makes it hard for us to just want to get rid of it because it's callus. It's packed on and on and on and on and on. And there's so many thick layers that we live life to just accept it and we move on. But the word of God is sharper and it's deeper and it penetrates and it goes on beyond our weakest of depths and our deepest of issues. And it will penetrate into the deepest of our calluses. And we're going to dig through those calluses during this series. We're going to dig through those calluses during this word because we have got to be free. And this is what I want us to understand. I am going to give us about 5 ways to identify unforgiveness. And as you see up on the screen, there are 5 signs of unforgiveness, because if we don't recognize them, we're going to live life like everything is A-okay when it's not. And it is time for us to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with who we are, to be honest with these things, to be honest about where we are in our lives. And we've got to be honest with where we stand when it comes to unforgiveness. Here are the 5 signs of unforgiveness, or just 5 signs, not the 5 signs, but about 5 signs that will help us recognize unforgiveness. Number one, okay, these are the 5 common signs of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness alienates, can't speak this morning, it alienates, divides, and separates from what used to be united. It alienates, it divides, and it separates from what used to be united. Okay, if you're taking notes, taking a photo, snap a photo of that. Okay, I want to give us time to make sure we get that. I am interested in teaching you, not just preaching to you. I want to make sure that we get this and we apply this into our lives and we can reteach this to other people in their lives, and then we can start a movement of being all about new and what God wants us to do. But we have to get what God is saying. Okay, so it alienates, it divides, and it separates us, or it separates from what used to be united. Yeah, us, family, friends, teams, all of that. That is all included in that. And unforgiveness will destroy every bit of it. Okay? Number two, unforgiveness, it maintains negative, jealous thoughts towards someone, especially when God is blessing them. You don't want to see that person blessed. Why? Because they hurt you. You don't want to see that person moving on and doing great things. Why? Because you don't feel like they're entitled to, because they hurt you, because they disrespected you. They don't deserve your God. They don't deserve his blessings. Here's that mirror again. This is a gut check word. I was soft and gentle last week, but now today we hitting it because we got to hit it. This is what happens. Look at him. He think he all that. Look at her. She thinks she all that. Blah, 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 blah. If you're saying that and you're thinking that way, pull up that mirror and ask yourself and be honest with yourself. Do I have an unforgiving spirit? Number three, here's another form or way to acknowledge or see unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is linked to the words never and always. It is linked to the words never and always. You don't ever do that for me. You never do this. You never do that. You're always this. You're always that. You're always this. You're always that. See, always and never, all of that is coming from somewhere. It's coming from a place. It's coming from a place, and really and truly, it's coming from something that's been buried, and it's just been buried, and it's been linked, and it's been buried, and it's been linked. And this is the reason why you said it. And if you're saying that about people, if you're saying that about somebody specifically, they never this, they never that, they always this, they always that, check yourself for having an unforgiving spirit. Okay, number four, here's another way to see, to notice a sign of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness continues to keep tabs. Unforgiveness continues to keep tabs. Oh, okay, they did this, they did that. We just talked about using the words never and always. I'm keeping tabs, everything they do. You know, Jesus said in the Bible, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, they watched him so that they might accuse him. They're taking notes. Everything he did. Oh, okay, today's with the woman with the well. Oh, okay, he turned over the desk or the chairs in the temple. He did this. He did that. He walked on the water. All of that stuff was based on unforgiveness, jealousy. All of those things are all linked to the enemy. He's working on the Sabbath. Check. He's hanging out with the prostitutes. Check. He's doing this. Check. He's doing that. Check. Here's this long laundry list of everything he did. Now we need to crucify him. When you're keeping tabs, that is a spirit that Jesus dealt with. And that is linked to a spirit of unforgiveness. That is linked to a spirit of unforgiveness. Watching so that you might accuse. Watching so that you can see everything that they did and didn't do. And it can just add to fueling your unforgiveness. It's fueling your tank. It's feeding your unforgiveness. It's giving it nutrients, okay? It's feeding that fig tree that's not producing. It's doing all of those things by keeping those tabs. And if you find yourself doing that, check yourself for the spirit of unforgiveness. Here's number five, and it's not the final, but it's just number five. Unforgiveness always complains. Unforgiveness always complains. When I hear complaining, I think about the children of Israel who were never grateful for everything that God did for them. He gave them manna. He brought them out of slavery. He parted the Red Sea. And even in Jonathan's days, okay? He did so many things, and it extended throughout history after history after history. God's chosen people, he continued to do wonderful things for them. He parted the Jordan River, okay? He did so many things to lead them, and they continued to have a spirit of being ungrateful, which led to unforgiveness. We should never have been in Egypt. This should never happen. God didn't this. God didn't it. It ain't fast enough. It ain't good enough. Just always complaining. I'm tired of manna. Can we at least at some point have some meat? God got tired of that complaining, y'all, from the children of Israel. God got tired of that complaining. And he gave them everything they asked for, gave them so much they couldn't even handle it. You better be careful about complaining. That ungrateful spirit. When you're complaining about somebody in particular, it's usually because there's something that was done that bothered you, something that was done that you're holding on to, something that you're keeping tabs on. And so everything they do, nothing's ever good enough. Nothing's ever just the way it could be or it should be or whatever the case. You find something to complain about. They can never impress you. They can never satisfy you. There's nothing ever good enough. If you find yourself being that way, I'm going to ask you to challenge yourself and look in the mirror. That unforgiving spirit just may be wrapping its arms all around you. We got to recognize it. We got to identify it. We have to embrace it. We have to accept it. Okay? Now, for those that were on our message last week, and if you missed our message last week, go back. We talked about the introduction to this series. I gave some homework. The teacher gave some homework, and I gave us some homework, and I asked you to think about some unforgiveness that you have in your heart. I gave you a whole long week to think about it. And I hope that you've done the homework, because if you did the homework, this message won't hurt. Because you've already faced that reality that I've been dealing with unforgiveness. I've already identified these areas, and now I know there's a work to be done. So if you did the homework, the pop quiz today ain't bothering you. It ain't catching you all surprise. If you didn't do the homework, this is probably not sitting very well with you. But I can tell you that your spirit needs it, and your soul is being blessed by it. What I want us to understand, though, as we're moving into this, okay, we have those five signs that we just talked about, and we have to be completely honest with ourselves. Because here's a note, here's a slide that I want to put up. The enemy wants to use unforgiveness to make you appear as the non-producing fig tree. The enemy wants to use unforgiveness to make you appear as the non-producing fig tree. That's the point. That's the purpose. That's his diabolical plan. And that's the reason why unforgiveness to you, it feels so good to hold that and not to release, because it's making yourself feel satisfied. But all you're really doing is endangering yourself. You're not releasing. And I'm sure that if I were to do some medical research about grudges and things that we hold on to, you would be able to find link to stress. When it's linked to stress, it can weaken your immune system. When your immune system becomes weakened, then you're more susceptible to certain diseases and things of that nature. It's unhealthy, law. It is unhealthy, y'all. And we have to learn to release some things and let those things go. The enemy wants you to get that instant gratification of feeling good, of not talking to that person, not giving to that person. Those things, because they hurt you, it makes you feel good to not have to interact or encounter with them, because he's all about that instant gratification. But the delayed gratification is, Jesus said, to bless those that hate you, that curse you, that disrespect you, to turn to the other cheek, okay? To just look the other way. Okay, accept it. Okay, yep, you know what? Okay, there's nothing that you can do that will separate me from the love of my Lord Jesus. Because I know one day I am going to receive delayed gratification. And he is one day going to say, well done, thy good, not unforgiving, but thy good and faithful servant. That's right. Serve the people that don't like you. Serve the people that have mistreated you. Serve the people that you may want to hold unforgiveness towards. That's why he calls you servant. And Jesus himself had to do it. He wouldn't require you to do it if he didn't do it. He said, the greatest among you will be your servant. And as y'all heard me say, he washed the dusty feet of Judas. He fed Judas. He nurtured Judas. He did everything for Judas that he did for Peter, James, and John. But he said, one of y'all are a devil, and you will betray me. And what did Jesus say when his work was completed? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If he didn't have that kind of compassion, if he didn't have that kind of love, if he didn't have that kind of servitude, because he came to do service for all of us, we would all be in trouble. And regardless to everything you did, every skeleton in your closet, everything that nobody knows about between just you and God, he forgave you. And he's now asking you, no, you probably can't forgive at the level at which I am, but just take a small portion of that and give that to your brother. Give that to your sister. Give that to your neighbor. Give that to your manager. Give that to whoever that is that needs that, because I was graceful enough to give it to you. And now I want you to be graceful enough to give it to somebody else. God, ladies and gentlemen, is looking to take us to another level in our lives. But we cannot enter into this next level of our lives with a hole in our soul called unforgiveness. Old wine, okay, cannot be placed in new wineskin. It's not going to work. It will burst the wineskin. It'll put a hole in the soul of new wineskin. But there has to be new wine placed and new wineskin. And that new wine is what Jesus is looking for on today. He's looking for that new thing. He's looking for the newness. He's looking for that generation that he wants to raise, and not a generation that is filled with holding grudges. He wants to do something new for all of us in our lives. He wants us to be able to live exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he wants the riches of heaven to pour down into our lives on today. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get rid of the hole in our soul. The hole in our soul will leave us empty. The hole in our soul will leave us in temptation. The hole in our soul will leave us into the depths of hell. The hole in our soul will lead us into death. The wages of sin pays for the hole in our soul. The wages of sin wants to keep us in darkness. The wages of sin wants us to have that unforgiving spirit. But I come to tell you on today, Jesus wants to lift us out of that. Love lifted us. When nothing else would help, it was love that lifted you. Love is lifting you right now. And if you're listening to this message right now, love is lifting you out of unforgiveness. Love is delivering you from unforgiveness. Love is removing those chains from unforgiveness right now, because God is able to do it. He will remove those calluses that are keeping you enslaved in unforgiveness. He will remove those debts that are keeping you buried in unforgiveness. He will patch up that hole that's in your soul. He will give you a whole new life. He will give you a whole new breath. He will give you a whole new outlook in your life, and you can be so free and not be a slave to unforgiveness if you just accept what the Lord is saying on today. And I've got one last slide that I want to put up on today. And I've got a question for you. Which tree are you? Better yet, which tree will God say you are? Are you the fig tree? Or are you the tree planted by the rivers of water? Which tree are you on today? Are you producing fruit? Better yet, are you producing holy fruit? Or do you have the leaves with nothing to show for? Which tree are you on today? Well, that could be a sermon right there, all together, all within itself. Which tree are you on today? Where are your apples? Where's the bloom? Where's the blossom? Who are you today? Who are you today? Do you have an unforgiving spirit? Or are you going to release all of those things? And we're going to have a corporate prayer. And I want you to say something with me here. We're going to read something in unison. We're going to read something on today, because what I want us to do is we're going to remove the chains of unforgiveness on today. And I don't know, this might be our last sermon for unforgiveness, because I feel like right now on today, I feel that we're getting it. I feel that we understand it. I feel that we're here. I don't know what God is going to do next week, but right now, this very moment, right now on today, I just want you to say something with me here, because together we're going to walk through this. I'm saying it. Okay. The first lady right here, she's saying it. Everybody out there on YouTube, on Facebook Live, Soil Church Online, listening on We Talk Radio, whoever you are on today right now, I want you to say this with me as we get ready to conclude our message. I want you to repeat after me. And I want us to know. Just say this after me. Lord, it's me. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Search my heart. Surgically remove unforgiveness towards anyone, especially me. Help me to get myself out of the way. Help me to get discord, division, alienating, hatred, jealousy, complaining, and envy out of my heart and out of my spirit. Patch up the hole in my soul, Heavenly Father. It's been there long enough. Cleanse me in every contaminated area in my life. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I don't want it any longer in my life. It's racking up debt that I cannot afford to pay. Help me to take a stance, and a stance of being forgiving. Help me to take a stance to be in support of giving. Because when I stand before you, I don't want to have any debt. I can't do this on my own power. So I'm asking for the helper, better known as the Holy Spirit, to help me in this area in my life. Surgically remove unforgiveness out of my soul and patch up the hole in my soul. I believe in your power. I believe in your power. Lord Jesus, I believe in your power. I believe in your divine power. That power that lifted you from the grave. That power that allowed your blood to cleanse us. That power that allowed you to walk on water. That power that allowed you to heal the blind man. The power that dried up the woman with the issue of blood. Your power, Lord Jesus. I need that same power to deliver me from unforgiveness. I will never, ever be the same again in my life, because nothing is too hard for you. So give me the power that I so desire, to live a life that is pleasing to you. I thank you, Lord. I bless your name. Deliver me from unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Demons are mad right now. They need to be mad right now, because this is something, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be life-changing. You're going to be able to walk a life and know that there is no hole in your soul. You're going to feel so light. You're going to feel so uplifted. You're going to experience joy at a whole nother level in your life. And I want to thank you for participating in this. We come to destroy unforgiveness. whenever that memory comes back to you that wants to make you think that, because the enemy is going to challenge you, he's going to try to make you remember, he's going to try to take a remote control and rewind what they did, rewind what they said, rewind what he did, rewind what he said, rewind what she did, rewind what she said. He's going to keep make you hit and rewind, hit and rewind, hit and rewind, replaying it over and over and over. You take the remote control, and what I want you to do is that same remote control, I want you to hit fast forward, and you hit fast forward to tell Satan where he's going to end up. Tell Satan how he got defeated on the cross. Tell Satan how he's going to be trapped and he's going to be in prison for 1,000 years during the heavenly reign of Jesus. Tell Satan about his future. That's how you replace that. You reframe that thought. You tell the devil about what his future is going to be like. While he wants to make you remember what you did and breed unforgiveness, you tell him about his future and how his life is destroyed. That's the remedy. That's how you do it. And that is, my friend, how you welcome forgiveness in your life. All right. Listen, I just real quick here, if there's somebody out there that wants to accept the Lord, right now, I don't want to close us out here. Whoever you are, I just want to say a quick prayer for you before we close. Lord Jesus, that person, that man, that woman, that child, whoever they are, Lord, deliver them, welcome them into your kingdom, save them, Lord, and help them to know that, Lord Jesus, you love them. Let them feel your arms wrapping around you. And if you're that person out there, I want you to just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day with all the power, with all the glory. Thank you for saving me and welcoming me into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and if that was you, I want to thank you for joining a team that never loses. This holy team, this godly team, is a team that never loses. This is a team that's going to be with you today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life, and we're going to see you in heaven one day. And if you did, and if you want a coach, if you want to reach out to me, shoot me a note, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I'd love to coach with you, pray with you. Or if you're on Facebook and we're connected, send me a DM. I DM people all the time. We talk, we have dialogue, we pray, we do all kinds of things. Reach out to me, okay? If not, there's my email address. I just want to stay in communication with you, all right? If this word has been a blessing to you, give God some praise. And while you're praising, show God thank you for giving. That's right. It is giving time in the house of the Lord. All right. You see the options that we have on the screen. You can give to us on Givelify. Okay. Get the QR code, scan it. It'll take you right to our Givelify page. Okay. We've got the P.O. Box 180972 in the great city of Arlington, Texas, getting ready to allow the world champion Dallas Cowboys to come into play. We right down the street. Our P.O. Box is right down the street. But if you want to give by way of Zelle, you can give to us by way of Zelle at info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I want to thank all of y'all that have been so diligent with your gifts. Okay. As we're plant, this ministry has been planted. We're growing. We got great things ahead. 2022 is going to be off the chain. It is going to be off the chain. Every single gift that you give is going towards the next move of God that's happening in this ministry. I want to thank you. Let's pray over every seed. Lord Jesus, thank you for every seed. You said, give and it shall be given unto you. Press down, Lord, with good measure. Press down, shaking together, running over, Lord Jesus. You said it in your word. You said that if we will give, you will pour out the windows of heaven's blessings. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for every seed, Lord. Meet every need from the obedience of every seed. Meet every need from the obedience of every seed given into this ministry. Lord, this is good ground. I'm seeing it in my life. My wife is seeing it in her life. I'm hearing about the testimonies from those that are just diligently giving into this ministry. And you are doing supernatural things, Lord, from our obedience. You said obedience is greater than sacrifice. And you said to give, Lord. You said, Lord Jesus, to bring all you tithe into the storehouse, Lord. That's what your word said in the book of Malachi. And we thank you for it. We thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we close, I ask that you be with us throughout this week. Protect us from danger seen and unseen. Help us to live an effective, on purpose, and impactful life, Lord, in everything that we do. You get the glory out of everything that we do, everything that we see, and all that we are. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Listen, thank you for tuning in on today. This message was potent, but it was necessary, okay? replay this message again. Replay this message again. Share this message. Tag people. Let the world hear about this, whether you're on YouTube, okay, our Facebook pages, whatever. Get your nieces, your nephews, your neighbors, your family, your friends, everybody. Let them know about this message. It is time for us to speak unity again and get rid of the holes in our souls. All right? We love you. We thank you. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there. Meet me there. Love you. Have a good one.
This is just a little carol. I want to wish everybody a merry, merry Christmas. Come on, y'all, say hark.
Having the newest styles and latest merchandise is an important part of your day. That's why you must check out the new online store for We Talk Radio Network. From the best quality t-shirts and hoodies to leggings and oversized blankets, we've got you covered. We even have merch for all the youth. Check us out at wetalkradio.com/shop. And while you're there, pick up an advertising package for your business or your next big project. We can customize a marketing package just for you to get your business in front of your neighbors. Go to WeTalkRadio.com/shop and shop.
Times are different today. Things are happening that have never happened before in the history of our world. And out of all the chaos that we're seeing and that we're experiencing, we need the word of God like never before. We need the word of God like we've never needed the word of God before. And I'm asking you to come grow with us in the soil, to receive good sound, biblical teachings that answer and speak to where we are on today. This is Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We call it the Soil Church, and I want to see you come grow with us in the soil. You can follow us on Facebook at Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. Follow us on YouTube, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as always, we'll be right here on We Talk Radio's Shine Lord Station, 10 a.m. every Sunday, and you can follow us there. But you have many multiple ways to follow us to grow with us in the soil. So come join me and allow God to speak to your spirit so that we can understand what God needs for us to do in such a time as this. So again, come join me, Jeremy J. Glenn, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I'm looking for you to not meet me there, but beat me there as we grow in the soil of the love of God. Don't meet me there, meet me there.
We Talk Radio Network is the hottest online radio station heard globally. We feature the best radio shows, the most amazing hosts, and hot topic panelists. We produce and support fabulous events globally as well. We work with the most dedicated community partners, period, point blank. I started We Talk Radio Network in 2010, and guess what? 10 years later, we are still celebrating and providing the best radio shows, best special guests, the most incredible music, blogs, events, and more. We have informative shows, inspirational shows, music shows. We even have 2 youth shows. We invite you to be a part of the family. And you can do that by following us on all our social media platforms and by going to www.wetalkradio.com. WeTalkRadio.com.